Thank you, ladies. I would encourage you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. We're looking at one verse this morning on a final thought of our discussions in the month of January on stewardship. We look at the stewardship of our resources. Stewardship of our resources. Now, that does largely come down to our income, but it's not just that. It's about our time and every resource that God gives us as a person who dwells on this earth for us to be accountable to Him for. Malachi chapter 3, we'll look at verse 10. The writer says, "Bring the full 10% into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is certainly true that every person right now thinking or listening to this would long to be blessed by you without measure. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to position ourselves to love you enough, to trust you enough, to find ourselves in that place. In Jesus' name, amen. I need a couple people to help me. Probably under the age of 12 would be nice. Let's say maybe 13. You two guys way in the back. Come on, run all the way down here. I need a couple more. I could take about 4 or 5. Yeah, okay. You two ladies right there. You come on over here. Yep, come on up. That's 5. I could take one more. Anybody else? Okay. Did I see a... Yeah, okay, you come on up. Okay, come on up. Everybody right here. Okay, I got something for you. Yep, just getting a nice line. Okay. Okay, we're all going to sing a song. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. So, yeah, that freaked you out. What I've got here is I got some money for you. Here is here's 10. That's from the Bank of China. Here is 100 pesos from the Bank of Mexico. Here is 1,000 CDs. This is from the Bank of Ghana. 2,000 CDs. That's not C period D, that's CIDI, that's the currency down there. There's 2,000 from the Bank of Ghana, 2,000 from the Bank of Ghana, and for you, 5,000 from the Bank of Ghana, Africa. Now, this is real money. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with this? You're going to go to Ghana. Right. Okay. Now, it's going to cost you $1,300 to get there, and this is about a nickel. Okay? Anybody else have any better ideas than that? You're going to sell it as a collector's item. You know what JD Coin will give you down at Miracle Mall for this? Nothing. Because it's just foreign currency that has no value. You can all sit down. You can keep the money, by the way. You know, the reality is that this is real money, but it's not money for a land where these kids live in, so it isn't going to do them a whole lot of good. Matter of fact, if they knew they were going to be in Ghana real soon, or China, or Mexico, maybe they would save that money. It might be worth it to drag it along, but it's not worth that much. It's not that big of a deal. If they knew they were going to spend the next 25 years there, they might spend a lot of time while they were here collecting and getting ready to have some of that money when they go there. But the currency I just gave them is for a different world, and so it doesn't do them a whole lot of good. In the final analysis, that is the Christian perspective that we should have on the money that we get and gain while we live and work in this country, America, in this nation, in this kingdom that God has for us here. But the reality is our treasure, the currency that we live and trade in that really matters, that lasts forever, is not having much value in this land. We send it on ahead. Someone said, you can't take what you have with you, but you can send it on ahead. The Christian has the perspective that the currency I have in my hand is just a tool that I can use to gain currency that lasts forever, and that is when I live forever in the kingdom of God. And today we're talking about stewardship, and when we talk about stewardship, it's impossible not to talk about money. If you're visiting today, or if you're a fairly new attender, you might think, wow, I can't believe it. I came to their church, and what do you know? What I always think is true came true. I came here, and they're talking about money. I'll bet they talk about it every week. Well, we don't. Why should we talk about tithing? Well, we should talk about stewardship of our resources, of which tithing is a component. We should talk about that because it is worship for us to be stewards of our resources. We should talk about that because it's a spiritual discipline for us to be stewards of our resources. It's an issue of obedience and an often neglected discipline. It's very easy for you possibly or others to be a very faithful tither and yet to not be a good steward of your resources because you waste them in many other ways. The Church of Jesus Christ is in love with its goods. It's very difficult for us to not be materialistic in a world that values things that you can put a price tag on and things that are shiny and things that we can buy or purchase or parade. It's an area in the stewardship of our resources where we need to mature, but we're reluctant to teach about stewardship and tithing sometimes. Many Christians do not support any ministries at all. Many don't tithe. Of the ones who say they do, statistics tell us about half of them don't even do that. In the final analysis, Christians who cheat God by not being good stewards of their resources ultimately cheat themselves because of the blessings that God promises in the life of those who are faithful with their resources. You know that there's thousands of verses in the Bible where Jesus talks about money, and the common theme that Jesus has when he talks about money in the Bible, the common theme is not how much, but how generous. We're not told to give any specific amount of money. We're told to be generous givers. And so what I want to do is I want to do kind of a backwards sermon this morning. You might say, well, that's nothing new. All of your sermons are a little backwards, but I want to go backwards. I want to give you five principles about stewardship, and then I want to take the verse that we read at the beginning and make an application in just a couple of seconds to how these principles apply to the verse that we read from Malachi chapter 3. So number one, stewardship is a biblical principle. Now, I'm not talking about tithing, and the heading here is not tithing. That'll be a component of our conversation. But stewardship for you in life as a Christian is a biblical principle. You're to be a steward of every resource that you have. One of the first things that happened was God implemented stewardship when he made the Garden of Eden. Before the fall ever happened, Adam was a steward of his environment, wasn't he? God said, okay, Adam, now here's this garden right here. What I need you to do is you got a couple tasks where you got to name those animals, and you got those trees over there, and you got some food you can eat from. And by the way, there's a tree over there you can't touch. You can't eat from that tree right there. You need to be a steward of that and do what I tell you. And one of the first things that God did was he made him a steward of his environment from the very beginning. Adam had an environment that he was responsible to God for how he cared for it. And Adam and Eve were poor stewards, and they took care of it in a different way than God told them, and they paid a price for that, and their stewardship responsibilities changed. And what God actually said to them was, you know, your stewardship before was going to be pretty nice and easy, and everything was going to cooperate and work with you. And I've read people, I don't think this is out of the realm of possibility, that believe that there were those animals before the fall that actually were there to care for the creation with them, to help to take care of things that needed to be done. I think that's possible. But after the fall, the stewardship became very much more difficult because there were thistles and thorns and rocks and hail and all kinds of other problems. Cain was a bad steward of the responsibilities that God gave him. And when God came to Cain and Cain said, what, am I my brother's keeper? Well, the obvious answer is to some degree, of course you are. Of course you are. You are a steward of the lives around you and the resources I give you. And you've been a bad steward, Cain. And God was very upset about that. Noah, for 100 years, was a steward of the resources and the responsibilities that God gave him. And so he took wood and pitch and time and tools and metallurgical hammers or whatever he used to make that stuff. He took those things and he was a steward of the resources that God gave him to accomplish the task that God had for him. Had Noah not been a steward of his responsibility with the tools and materials that God gave him, we don't know what would have happened. after Noah, there was the Tower of Babel, and they had a lot of resources. Now, there wasn't a lot of rock, so they didn't build a tower then of rocks and stones. Like you might see some buildings around here that are built with blocks of stone, very solid. They didn't have that, but they had lots of mud and lots of straw. And so those guys were baking that stuff together, and they were pitching together. And they took the resources they had. They took their labor, their time, their blood and sweat, and the resources of the mud and the brick, and they stacked together, and they were building a tower so they could reach up to God in their pride, and God did not like it. They were being a horrible steward of the resources that God gave them. It would be easy for us in this life as an American Christian to spend our lives building, as it were, a Tower of Babel and taking the resources that God has given us, the finances, the place, the responsibilities, and stitch it all together. And in reality, we're not building something that honors God. We're building a Tower of Babel to our own pride. Very easy. I grieve when I look back at the early goals in my business career in my early 20s. I only wanted one thing, and I wanted to have a lot of it fast. And I have been so convicted over the years of how off my focus was. I was being a horrible steward of the talents and resources and materials that God put at my disposal. Stewardship is a biblical principle. Even the gospel, the knowledge of a relationship with Jesus Christ and that we can have a relationship with God that pays for our sin and forgives it. Even the gospel, Paul said on several occasions, I'm a steward of the gospel. I know the gospel. It's important to me. It matters a lot. It's changed my life. And because I have that knowledge, I am responsible for how I handle that knowledge. I am a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are to steward your resources for God, whatever they are. Stewardship was implemented at creation. It's a lifelong obligation. You never get a break on this. It's a lifelong application. It's a lifelong obligation for you through your life to steward the resources that God gives you whenever, however, wherever you are. You never get a break. You can retire from your job, but you cannot retire from being a steward of the resources that God has given you. Every single person has resources at their disposal that God requires stewardship. Lastly, there's a day of reckoning. Stewardship's a biblical principle that God implemented at the beginning. It's for your entire life. And there's a day of reckoning for how you steward your resources. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for man once to die, and then comes judgment. We know that's true. We'll be judged for what? For what we've done in our lives with the resources that God gave us. The knowledge of the gospel, the things that we could do, the things that we could teach, the relationships we had. Revelations 14:6, I talked about that in the Upwards Basketball devotion yesterday. I just was struck with this passage. I was looking for where the New Testament has a really clear and concise message of the gospel, you know, so that the verse says the gospel is exactly this. Well, there isn't a verse that says the gospel is exactly this. There's lots of things we stitch together so that we have a clear gospel. But Revelations 14 says, the angel then flew mid-heaven and proclaimed the gospel to every nation. And I'm like, wow, what did the angel say? Well, the angel said, you should fear God, serve Him, worship Him, love Him, and the day of judgment is coming. In other words, the gospel says that you should fear, love, and worship God because there's a day of reckoning coming for how you are a steward of the knowledge that you have. Stewardship is a biblical principle, lifelong, encompassing your entire life. And secondly, stewardship is about giving. Stewardship is about giving. If I was a steward of your house while you were away, there are certain expectations that you would have of that. I noticed just the other day, I don't know where I saw this, but I saw there was some advertisement somewhere for people that were willing to house sit or have their houses sit, and they were trying to do some exchanging there. I thought, isn't that interesting? Because I can just see the guy coming back from his 2-week or 4-week vacation, and somebody's been a steward of his house, and he gets home, and none of the snow is shoveled, and the tracks are way over the packed snow, you know, and the door's got the scrapey spot where you open it because nobody shoveled the sidewalk, and you get inside, and the whole living room is covered with pizza boxes and pop cans. There's potato chips and Cheetos all over the floor. None of the dishes are done. The person would come back, and they would go, what in the world? Well, what does it take for that not to happen? Effort. You got to give some time and shovel the sidewalk and take care and clean up yourself and all of those things. If you do nothing, stewardship just goes in the toilet, right? If you do nothing, everything just goes to chaos. Nothing's cared for. The dust builds up. The snow builds up. The dirt builds up. And the reality is stewardship, to be a good steward of what's going on around you and your resources, requires that you give effort, that you do something. Stewardship's about giving. Not just money, but effort and time and energy and commitment. Giving your labor and your resources, your care and your concern. Acts 20:35, Paul said that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The person that makes the effort to give is being a better steward than the person who is not. Matthew 10:8 tells us why we can do that. Jesus said, you have received freely, so you should freely give. You should freely give. All of you have received freely, and a good steward, stewardship is about giving. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 says, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that came though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. So stewardship is a biblical principle. It is about giving, and stewardship includes tithing. It's not the only thing, it just includes it. And the verse we read today was about tithing. Your handling of money, James Ricard said, your handling of money is the greatest outward indicator of an inward spiritual condition, how you deal with your resources. Tithing is an especially common principle in the Old Testament. All the way through, we read of the ways that God had planned for them to give and to support the priests and the temple. And if you add it all up, there's people that say it's somewhere in that 22 to 27% of what they had was to go to the temple, to God, to be a tithe, to be a steward of their resources to provide for those around them. Generous giving is the example that God planned for them in the Old Testament. It's the example that Christ affirmed in the New Testament. Luke chapter 6, 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. Stewardship includes tithing. And the way that we handle our money is a good indication of our spiritual condition. Number four, stewardship combats selfishness. Stewardship combats selfishness. Some would say, and I like how Jeremy prayed this morning, he said, first of all, he said something about right now we're going to give back a portion. And then he immediately changed it and he said, you know, everything that we have is yours. Help us to give it all. That's how we should think. The reality is our stewardship to God with our resources is not about 10% or a tithe. The stewardship, the resource, it's about 100%. It's about 100%. Everything that we have is God's. Everything that we own, that we see, that we have at our disposal, everything is God's. Our stewardship is about the 100%. It's about what we do with every single thing that we have. You can be a bad steward of any of the resources that you have, not just your tithe. Stewardship's also about 90%. The word tithe, if you look up the word throughout the whole, I got to look it up here, asar, I think it is. Yes, it's asar, and all through the Old Testament, we don't say, well, what does tithe really mean? How do we get it to be a tenth or 10%? Well, there's 305 uses of the word asar or aser all through the Old Testament, and it doesn't mean the word tithe, it means a tenth. It just means a tenth. The word tithe, literally, statistically, figuratively, all of that, it all means just a tenth. So stewardship's about 100% about everything we have. It's about 90%, meaning that, sure, there's that 10% that's our physical tithe, but it's really about generosity because stewardship combats selfishness by helping us to be generous, not just with a tithe to the church, but in life. 10 years ago, Christianity Today had an article in their magazine about young adults and financial giving. James Willard wrote that article, and he said that today, our people 45 years and younger, maybe a little older than that, our people 45 years of age and younger have grown up mesmerized by materialism. There's tremendous pressure on families to spend, spend, and spend. And then he said that he's heard the generation that believed in the tradition of tithing is largely in three places. retirement homes, nursing homes, or cemeteries. I don't believe that's true. I think it's possible that the older generation, those that have preceded us, those over the age category he's talking about, might have a firmer commitment. But in my experience even here, as I see younger people committed to Christ and coming into the fellowship and understanding tithing, they're saying, I want to be committed too. I've never heard this before. I had someone say, how come we never talk about tithing? I didn't even realize I was supposed to be doing that. I think it's easy for us to be mesmerized by materialism, as the article says. And I think it's possible that the older generation among us might be more committed, but I believe there's a new generation of younger people committed to God that will make this article not be true, because they're going to say, when God tells me, when I see it in Scripture, when I know it's a biblical principle, I'm in, I'm tithing, I'm going to give generously, and it will help to combat the selfishness that my culture builds into my life. Heard one preacher say that all the excess money that you get is a means for you to show that you do not love it. Isn't that interesting? All the excess money that you get is a means for you to show that you don't love it. And lastly, stewardship is rewarded. Stewardship is rewarded. It takes discipline and character to be faithful without a reward. And oftentimes in our lives, we don't see that immediate response. We don't see the, well, I put a check in the plate and I got home and there was one hanging on my front door. Right? I mean, we just don't see that. And I've heard stories of people talking like that, where it really happened, where they gave the last little bit they had and God blessed them. It doesn't always work like that. The reality is, though, we know that stewardship, as the Bible talks about it, is rewarded, and God promised that. We know that's a fact. And even in the verse we read in Malachi chapter 3, God said, test me and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven for you. Sometimes good deeds get punished or unnoticed, and it's easy to overlook stewardship, especially financial stewardship in our lives. And God says, test me in this. Let me suggest something for you. If you wait till the end of the month to see if you have the money that you need so that you can tithe when the month is over, it's likely that it won't happen. Because I imagine that all the forces of evil out there and those that don't want to be faithful do everything in their power to do whatever they can do so that when you get to the end of the month, it won't be there when you need to give it, right? But what if you flip it around? What if you say that first portion, that tithe off my income, that's God's? What if you start out the month that way and say, you know what, God, I've never been able to make it before. I don't see how it's going to work out, but I know that's being faithful, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it in first. When I get my paycheck this month, I'm going to tithe first, and then I'm going to see what happens to my money. Do you think maybe then that God would be the one who would be working to make sure that you make it? Which side of that equation would you like to be on? The one who sees at the end of the month to see if there's something left, or maybe even, God help us, maybe even the end of the year, if you have something left, you'll give it to God. Or the one who says, I'm going to give to God first and put the burden on Him to take care of me because I've been faithful to what He told me to do. I know which side of that equation I'd like to be on. Tithing is not just for God. Tithing is not just for the church. Tithing is for you because it puts God first. And God says He rewards that. Tithing makes us less selfish, and unselfish people make better husbands and better wives and better friends and better relatives and better employees and better employers. I've heard very, very few. Matter of fact, I don't know if I've ever heard a testimony about the benefits of not tithing. I've heard countless stories year after year after year of God's faithfulness to those who are faithful because God rewards faithfulness. Maybe the question is, am I treating God as the owner of everything I have and I'm just a good steward? Or do I treat Him like a consultant where every now and then I ask Him a question and give Him a small donation for His response? Someone said, I love this. Someone said, I want to be the executor of my own estate while I'm alive. I want to give it to God and put my estate and my resources and my money to work where I can see where it's going and I want to be the executor of my own estate. I know a church that said in 1992, and I only give the date to know that this is a true story. I know a church that said, if you are faithful to tithing this year in our church, if you are faithful to tithing this year in our church, and you get to the end of the year and you can honestly come and say that God has not taken care of you or made it possible, we will give all your money back on the last day of the year. And the elders backed up the pastor who said that, and they made that commitment. And all year long, they heard story after story after story about how faithful God was to that congregation who committed to be faithful in tithing. And I know you're all thinking it, so I'll just tell you, was there anybody who came back and said, it didn't work out, I want my money back? Yes, there was one lady that came back and said, it just hasn't worked, and they gave the money back. You know, the application from Malachi is that tithing is a biblical principle. The children of Israel knew the stewardship they had of their surroundings, the land of Canaan, the people, what they were supposed to do and give. They knew that, and they were not doing it. In the last book of the Old Testament, God comes along and says, you guys are in big trouble here because you haven't been faithful. You know you're supposed to be good stewards. They knew they were supposed to be giving not just their tithe, but to the poor around them and other things. And it looks like when we read the passage, Malachi 3:10, they weren't just not being generous. They were being selfish. They weren't even giving in the bare minimum. They were told, look, not only have you not been giving and you've been selfish, you haven't been tithing, bring it all in, folks. Malachi 3:10, God said, bring it all in. It was about tithing for them as well. And God said, you know, I need you to do that. I need you to be faithful, and you can test me and see if I won't take care of you, because stewardship is rewarded by God. I have just a couple of quick questions for you, and then we're done. Not for you, but that I want to answer. Number one, the question is, well, doesn't God want to raise my standard of living? And so that as I make more, I can spend more, and I can kind of increase in that? And the answer is, God is certainly concerned about our standard of living, but first and foremost, He's concerned about our standard of giving. And He wants us to have that as a priority. Some would say, well, why are churches accused of talking about money so much? Well, some churches do. Some churches don't. We haven't had a sermon here since June of 06 about that. But it is very, very important for us to understand. Some would say, why have I never heard this teaching before? I had one of our new members that's joined in the last couple of years who came and said, I just was reading a book about tithing. I've never heard this before. And I was like, wow. Why have some never heard about it? Because you just haven't heard solid teaching on stewardship and tithing, that's all. What if I cannot afford to tithe? What if I cannot afford to tithe? I like what Dave Ramsey said. Dave Ramsey says, if you can't live on 90%, you won't be able to live on 100%. I think it's true. Tithing is elementary level financial Christian stewardship to the church. And the truth is, you probably cannot afford not to tithe. Here's a good one. Should I tithe off my gross or my net? Anybody ever ask that question? Should I tithe off my gross or my net? Well, I'm not going to tell you the answer to that question. I'll let you talk to God about that. But the Old Testament principle was to tithe off the first fruits of what they had, the first and the best. And the government doesn't give you much choice here. The government doesn't let you tithe off your netty. Takes it right off the top, right off the gross. So do what God leads you to do, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. Another question, where should I tithe to? Well, I think you should tithe to the local fellowship that you're a part of. This follows the biblical model all through Scripture, where those that were around the sanctuary, the temple, the children of Israel, even in the New Testament, they brought their money to the temple, they brought it to the priest, they brought it to the church, they brought it together where they were a part of the fellowship of what was happening. The churches shared with each other. They collected offerings for each other. Ultimately, pray about it. And for me personally, I give only gifts above my tithe to places outside the church. And that's my personal choice. Lastly, what if I don't tithe because I am upset with the church? What if I don't tithe because I'm upset with the church. You know, you will hurt yourself more than your intended target. You will hurt yourself more than your intended target. The persons that you are upset with or the people that you would be upset with in a church where you don't tithe, they would never know that. I don't know that. I have no idea what any single person in this church gives except for myself. That's it. I would never know. People would never know. And if you're upset with the entire church, and so you don't give for that reason, you have a much bigger concern in your spiritual condition than your decision about tithing. Tonight, if you get a chance to come back, we're going to contrast the biblical record of giving and not giving throughout the Old and New Testament. Stitch those two together. And I do have for you after church, if you want, there's a stack up here. I have a book by Randy Alcorn called The Treasure Principle. It's a quick read, probably a couple hours for most of you. It's only 100 pages, give or take a few. It's a wonderful book that talks about the treasure principle, which is unlocking the secret of joyful giving. And so instead of just handing them out randomly, if you just come up at the end, I'll be right here and you can have one of those. Take that, read it, enjoy the message that Randy Alcorn has in this very excellent book. And also, at the end of church, on your way out, behind the double doors, in the middle of the double doors, is a table, and we do have offering envelopes in for you this year. We have three choices for you. We have boxes of 52 envelopes if you give weekly. We have stacks of 26 envelopes if you give every 2 weeks, maybe when you get paid, or we have stacks of 12. And so on your way out today, if you've been waiting to get those, we ran out of them here a little while ago. If you've been waiting to get those, then be sure to get those on your way out today. Two more things I want to tell you. One is I believe that our financial folks and our stewardship committee have done an excellent job of planning for this year. And I believe that we're going to make or exceed our budget this year. And we've already been doing that. So if you're wondering how we're doing, we often don't say too much about it. We know how much we need. We take our budget, divide it by 52 weeks. We've got to have this much money. And so far, we are exceeding that every week this year. Congratulations. Way to go. We're being faithful to that budget. That's good news for us. I asked for that number, and in my head I was going, oh, I don't want to go and say, well, we're already this much behind, so let's all get paid. The reality is we're not behind. We're doing well. We're actually a little bit ahead. Praise God for that. And don't take that as an excuse to go, oh, well, we're a little bit ahead. That's good because I can back off. No. No, it's not about that. It's about you being faithful to God. So we are making that budget. We're exceeding it. I believe this year we'll go far enough above it. I've already talked with the finance committee, and they said if that happens sometime this year, they'll get together, and they'll say, well, we're running this much over budget. Let's decide what we're going to do with that money and bring that back to you people, the church, and say, here's what we're suggesting we do with the extra. I'm looking forward to that day, guys. I think God can do it here if we're faithful. So come and get a book afterwards, if you would, please, and get your envelopes on the way out. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do love you. I want to love you more. I want to love you better. I want to be a good steward of the resources that you have given me personally. Father, I want our church to be a good resources of the a steward of the resources that you give us. And I want each person here right now to be a good steward of the resources that you have given them. Father, please help us in this. And Father, I pray for you to abundantly reward and bless your children when they are faithful with their resources. In Jesus' name, amen.